delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Suresh.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to Soul Brews with Shiva, and thank you for coming into Coffee and Soul. Really appreciate you taking the time. Kaise ho aap? All good?
Yeah, all well. I can't do the fraud of saying that I'm working on the PhD, but I think I'm spending more time on what Excel needs done here and some other stuff, which I think I just instinctively get, including the classmate who I have not been terribly in touch with or contact with for the past 3 decades. And as the news of his being unwell came through to me, and then I've been having a chat with his wife every day or every other day. Maybe timing-wise, this just right or maybe not right, is that he copped it yesterday. And that's, I think, thrown many of us in the class off kilter, especially those of his, those of us who were close to him. I think some of those chaps are taking a, will take a while to find themselves on a stable platform.
What happened?
So he figured that, they figured that he had stage 4 of a particular form of cancer just 4 months ago. And that's a form which looks like one doesn't easily survive. Stage 4 is difficult. And then that's it. I mean, he's had a great life and all forms of success that one can look for, whether it be on the sporting field and the corporate career, as an author, as a coach. A tremendously well-liked, loved and respected person.
Oh, I'm so
that's the, so that, that's in a way occupied me for the last few weeks, definitely for the past few days. Class is figuring out mortality.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
So, and I'm going to his, may he rest in peace. I'm raising a toast to him, this coffee, to you as well, Suresh, as you combat and think about what you just brought out, say this whole thing around mortality. I think that's a huge one right now on many fronts in the world as well. So if I ask you that, if you were to think about, if you were to just pause and keep your cup of whatever it is that you're drinking.
It's water, actually, because I finished off all the tea and coffee I brought to office today.
So if you can just, if I can ask you to sit back, close your eyes, and just think of any image that comes to your mind, any image, whatever it, could you do that? Just sit back a bit, just relax, breathe, and whenever you're ready.
Interestingly enough, the image from this morning has stuck in my head. Since I'm on the campus here at Jhajjar, one gets to see a beautiful sunrise. That's a picture I also sent on our class group this morning to say that a new dawn beckons or awakens us. It's you know, it's a matter of timing, or it's rather strange that that should have happened this morning, and I must then send this message out and we must have this chat and you must ask me this question. But yeah, that's the bridge in my head.
Wow. And what does this mean to you? You said it's a new dawn. How do you link it to whatever happens and happened for all of you in your class group and your close friend? How do you, what's, is there any link you see?
Yeah, links, of course, Shiva, because I don't think anything happens by itself. It's all interlinked. I forget what one of the Mahavakyas is. Ekam evaditya Brahma.
Yes.
Right? So Brahman is one without a second. Yeah, I think the universe was sending out a message to me and maybe to others saying that, listen, life goes on and life has all of this. It has the comings and goings and the intervening acts that occur, which from a macro perspective and even temporary, some would seem to be good and some would seem to be bad. Some would seem to be easy and some tough and hard. Some joyful and some intensely disappointing aside. That's a message. I mean, I sound like some Babaji or Guruji, but then when you ask me this question, I think that's what comes to my mind on the opportunity to see the sunrise. Yeah. I'll separately send you that picture. I think it's a pretty good picture to get on a mobile phone.
I'd love to see. And I just want to say, although, you know, it's not so much about Babaji or a Guruji. I think it's a human being, a deeply reflective human being, looking at life and seeing, you know, especially when you've just had this experience and making those connections. And sometimes being human is far bigger than being a guru or a whatever. That just pushes us into being human, like, more than anything. Yeah. And
it's, I think when you say being human, to my mind, it's just to be.
Yeah.
You know, I can go on for a long time, and maybe some other day we must do this. Is this the model of living and the model of economic activity that we seem to have adopted or ingrained is to achieve, to be better, to get ahead, even at the risk of pushing somebody else down or pushing somebody aside, and thereby on a opportunism to continue opportunism to altruism. It would appear to me that our world has moved more towards the opportunistic view of the underlying character of humans and farther and farther away from the altruistic view of humans. And that in itself has its own story and its journey. We want to recognize and work to restore a form of balance. Balance again is ephemeral, or actually infinitesimally, or whatever that word is, small periods of time. There's never real balance, right?
Right, right.
Then one might find that, well, heck, life ain't that much of a struggle. People aren't that bad. Maybe there are some bad folks around. It's possible to give and give willingly and freely. And one will receive. Does this take away from the fact that one must strive for and push for things that one needs or wants? No, I think we still will. I still do. And I don't speak for others. I speak for myself. Am I getting maudlin now? But
I don't think so. I think, and these are the really reflective and deep moments that we all actually need to talk about and share and build awareness around. Because most of our life is on this, you know, roller coaster. I think these are some things that also bring about back our nobility as human beings. Because we don't see it that often in ourselves, and it's there, present, but we don't draw it out. So if I asked you, if you were to reflect on your life, what would you share of your journey, your highlight, your highs and lows, your learning? What would those be?
Yeah, there's a good number of years to reflect on. Let me take this in three parts. As I stand here today, what have I learned of myself and what I think my role in this life is? What are things I think I've enjoyed or liked? What are some things that I wish never did happen? And the first part is going to be sound a bit philosophical. And I'll have to throw some names around as well. For me, I think duty is it. Okay, if you were to ask me the question, what defines me? I think duty defines.
Duty as in karma or duty as in your...
Okay, I won't engage with karma at this point. I'd say duty as in what I have to do in my role, in the roles that I occupy, in the roles that I discharge, that I have to do, that's duty. And there's a role, for instance, the role of being a son, the role of being a husband, the role of being a parent, the role of being a son-in-law, the role of being a student, the role of being somebody who's assisting, of being a friend, holding a certain responsibility. They require one to do some things, and that's a duty. And hence, and I think that's exactly what's driven me. Now, I've never really figured out from where this got embedded in my head. And this is a matter I've wrestled with consciously for the last, I think now, 12 years. A little over 12 years. I think I've pretty much concluded that what defines me is duty. Now, in fulfilling one's duty or discharging one's duty, I don't like this word discharging. I much rather stay with fulfilling, okay? And doing one's duty. And this is Kantian in that. Because can this be, and hence the principle that I use, can it be a universal law? Can be applied to all situations, to all people, and hence not utilitarian? Okay. I think I have a serious issue with utilitarianism, and hence with capitalism, and I won't go there. That could take us very, very, very many hours.
I think so.
One must just read Yanis Varoufakis' books and find some way around that. What have I enjoyed? What do I even today enjoy? I think, and as I say that, I also wrestle with this fact that there seems to be a payoff.
Yeah.
Even if one says that there is no payoff, the payoff may not be monetary, but there is a payoff. What gives me great joy is to know that I was able to shape some, to help the various pieces fall together and assist an individual in some form or manner point in time. So for instance, this classmate passed on to, as I call, the Elysian fields yesterday. I didn't know him terribly well in the last few decades. But then I think a connect happened with his wife, and I think I ended up being the vehicle to communicate things into the batch, frame them and back into the institute as well. So that's, I feel good that, you know, someone had to do this. And whether I took it on or it came to me, this came my way. And that is that's a role I played. I think the role there was being the communicator and the one to be the vehicle to share the information. Because in such a situation, many of us want them to be curious. We want to know whether we can help. The truth is none of us could have helped in any medical, in the medical fashion or even financial. And so then the transmitting of some of that information back to the family, etc. Okay. Can I say joy? In this instance, a wrong word, but I just feel good. So you look through life, when I look through life, I think my, the for me, and you asked me highlights, but I'd frame this as the best payoffs for me internally have come from where in instances or events where I knew that quietly, unobserved, could help pieces click together or assist an individual or an organization. Okay? Professionally, I've always called this in my head as that I love designing systems and embedding processes and systems that stay beyond one's existence in that role or that firm. Okay, so that's that. Not gone well, I think there's a very long list. So I'm an intense guy. What does intense mean is that anything I do will be with full gusto, complete devotion. So it's like a horse with blinds. And in that bargain, time and again, often, I ignore or keep away certain matters or certain people. Is that a matter I've found a easy solution to? Not yet. I know that I've gotten better at periodically taking off the blinds and engaging with individuals and other matters who do need attention. So there's a bit of self-flagellation, is that this is your duty and you've not done it. But then I resolve it for myself, saying that as we loosely say at work, is itne paise mein itna hi milta hai. It's also, yeah, I mean, one has to assuage one's guilt as well. And I tell myself, listen, you finally have only so much time and energy. You can only do so much at a point in time. There's no point in burning oneself out. So those are the points of unhappiness, and those points of unhappiness or poor performance continue to stay. I can never, today at least, I can't say that they've all gone by. It's not a, these are not habits or issues that have been surmounted for good. And so those are the thorns that remain. You know, otherwise, the roses that I talked of earlier, I might not even recognize them as roses.
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that, because this brings up a question for me. There's a lot you spoke about the roles that you play, the role of a son, the role of a father, the role of a colleague, lately communicator. And if I was to ask you to suddenly just drop all your roles, who are you?
Don't have an answer yet. That too has been a question. And so my wife for many years used to tell me, learn to be selfish. So I used to rebel at this very word. Off late, realization that's come forth is it's not so much being selfish, but actually look for oneself and do engage in matters, but simply do things that one must do, would want to do, right? So I can't really respond to the question, who am I? But I can, that's an existential question that haven't ever been able to resolve. I'll say this, yeah, and I've shared this with a very close friend who shares my first name and my one of my guides back in XLR is, my instinct says that in time, I will know who I'm meant to be. And I think one has spent the better part of one's life striving to be who I want to be. I think in that wanting to be, eventually, I might finally be aware of who I'm meant to be. So, and I think that's the phase I'm in. Because there is a transition and change going on over the past many years, and definitely in the last 5 to 6 years.
Coming in here, Suresh, I'm not speaking metaphorically, but can you move into
this? Damn thing.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
No, I. Yeah. So
the last few years, you were saying there's
been. Yeah. So when you ask the question, who are you? Work in progress. I'm at this moment, I think, pretty hopeful that in some time, who I'm meant to be will be clear to me in my conscious awareness. Might be there deep down inside, but it's not yet out there to be able to articulate. So, sorry, but can only give such an elliptical response than anything else.
Well, that's beautiful, Suresh, because it's okay to be work in progress, isn't it? And if that's the message we all can carry, and I think that is tremendous. Because there really is no place to reach. And as you're saying, if you will be who you're meant to be, that itself is a certain uniqueness that no one else can manifest except you. Something that you, if I was to ask you, what has been pretty much the metaphor for your life? It could be a few, but if there is something that you always kind of fall back on when there is a great joy or great, or just an awareness moment that you have, what is it that you fall back?
None. Metaphor. when I think harder, I think this is stuck in my head since 1981 or 82.
Okay.
Is back then, the copy of the book Myth of Sisyphus was available in bookstores in Bombay. Literally had on the cover the image of a man rolling a huge, huge boulder up a hill. I think that's the thing. The Myth of Sisyphus is a little not too pleasant. I think how I resolve stuff for myself, I think, is to say that sometimes it's one step ahead, two steps back. Sometimes three steps ahead, one step back. Point being that there is movement. There's movement and there's effort. There's will, there's effort, and there's movement. So can't give up. Can't stop. There's no place for status. And as one would, I think, in the fourth discourse of the Bhagavad Gita, right? There's a reference to activity and inactivity.
Mm.
So to be chitta and calm and sthir and all of that is not to say that there is no activity. It is really inactivity, and then the mind's also not thinking and cogitating at all times, right? I think the Myth of Sisyphus remains in my head. And this prompts me to go back to the earlier question, who am I and stuff. I think the endeavor is also to find the way to fulfill that duty. And I find this particularly tough, to fulfill the duty and yet be detached. It's easy to spout those lines from the Gita that we commonly hear.
Mm.
Because in doing the duty, in fulfilling the duty, I have to be fully immersed. Mm. Now, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi may call it flow, call it by any name, just be fully involved in it and devoted to it. In that, I think one still has to look at what outcome one is shaping. Now, the trick is, I find the real tricky piece is, while in the activity, is to not be owned by that, the quality of that action and the activity in itself, neither to own it, but yet discharge it. And that's a fine line I'm as yet to figure out how to articulate that or resolve that. And those few instances of life that this has occurred, because in retrospect, one realizes that it has occurred. Then I realized that those genuinely were the ones that gave maximum joy, and the output was really, really stellar. And it's not all done by one individual. It's a group of people eventually. You know, it's, I always call this, it's a constellation of events and constellation of people who come together for various things that get done as well. So that's an ideal I'd want to strive for. You know, in as many instances as possible, can one get this?
Okay.
And if this involvement with intensity in the action can come through without attachment to that action and its outcomes.
Mm.
And I phrase this in my head these days as focused attention and action with awareness. And there is a Russian author who wrote paper on similar lines many years ago. But then since he's Russian, he's not too well known, called Leontief. It's A. Andrei Leontief. Okay. Later figure out the name. So,
And what you said right now, focused attention without, and still being detached with consciousness, with awareness. So it's not even losing yourself in that attention.
Mm.
You still are detached and yet you're completely focused. So being able to play that. And I think that is, as you said, an endeavor and I suppose a constant striving to. And the fact is that you've given it name and a form and a something that can be looked at as how to achieve. I think just articulating this is very powerful in itself. What you've just said, and you said when people, you know, when constellation of people and constellation of circumstances happen, and, yes, that's true. It's that coming together. This joy that you feel when you talk about that, it, you know, when that happens, it gives you great joy. What's the origin of that joy? What is it that gives you that joy?
Hindi mein bol do.
Haan, bilkul Hindi mein bol.
This matlab sahi kaam kiya, dhang se kiya, or it's something that's embedded. Like my past life was as an HR professional.
Mm-hmm.
So one knows that there are these systems, methods, policies, habits that are now imprinted for good. Now, they will adapt over time, but that imprint has been left. Okay? And so that's the joy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's beautiful. Is there anything that you feel you could have done differently in your life?
Yeah, I should not have got trapped with the monthly paycheck and should have... see, this is all in retrospect. Okay? Maybe back in 91 itself, I should have gone off to pursue an academic career. This is not regret. This is, maybe that's what I should have. Mm. But then, you know, the X number of years in as a corporate rat have also taught and shaped me in many ways. And that exposure would not have happened in the academic world.
It is true, isn't it, that nothing is wasted in our journey, and everything has its stellar merit, you know, into shaping what we are looking to become or what we have to become. So, yeah, as you say this, I resonate with that. Your unique legacy, because I believe every human being has a particular gift that they give to humankind, because nobody else exists. That is you, right? What do you think it would be? Your unique lens. What would you offer? What would it be? What would this uniqueness of Suresh be?
Using unique lens or unique legacy?
Unique lens will give you your unique legacy.
Okay.
So what is it that you would be? Something that is unique to you.
Okay. First I'll respond to legacy.
All right.
I don't know, and I can't state that, because this would be wishful thinking and would also is also presumptuous. I would go as far as to say is then an arrogant state. So I don't know what my legacy will be. That will be known post-fact. As the Raya Pestiji, the first plant manager I worked with at Gaudesian Boys, told me in his typical Babaji style, he's what you could call as a garrulous old man. So Pestiji told me, "Aye jo dikhra, after you're gone and on your last day," and he was talking about when he exits as a plant manager after 35, 37 that come. He said, "On that day, you will know whether it is your position or it is you.
That's very powerful.
And you will know after you're gone what you've done." So at this stage, I was a 21-year-old kid when I joined that company, and I also have a lot of respect for the Parsi community in themselves. And those words of the Raya Pestiji have forever stayed with me. Legacy one will know after one's gone. One won't know, others will call it out. The lens, I'd like to think that I have a ability to just see farther and instinctively connect some item and very, very many things. That's that. And to sometimes for these views and articulation to have merit in others, eyes, one needs the legitimacy of a position. On occasions that I have had the legitimacy of a certain position or role, then I know that these articulations have been received and accepted. And when one doesn't have, then they're not. And that's the way of the world as it is. I think that's the lens. I mean, this is the best that I can articulate this. I've never thought about this, but then you asked me the question, so here you are.
Thank you. Thank you. It makes sense. What makes a lot of sense, what you just said. If there is someone, a 21-year-old like you starting out, and we had this person telling you, Darius Pestiji telling you what he did. Think of a 21-year-old standing next to you right now. What would you tell him or her?
Just one thing, boss, is take every matter that you deal with, what you go through, and every individual you engage as one more experience. And if I were to expand and if I had more time, I'd say then from each of those experiences now, work to figure out what you can glean out as one learning, one insight from that experience, both about yourself, the world, and the situation and those. And then loop that back to what you formally study. And that's the only way by which one can build or rebuild theories and concepts of oneself, adaptively increase one's knowledge. So maybe that's about all.
That is really very beautiful statement. Take everything as one more experience. I think that is that says it all. It also tells us your essence. What kind of value do these kind of conversations have for you?
Okay, first off, I didn't know I was getting into this kind of conversation. I thought I was getting to talk to you after a long time. But anyway, this is a great platform for me to think, reflect, articulate. This is hardly known you, but the little I've known you, this your demeanor, and even with an electronic means, gives one a platform to think, reflect, and articulate in a safe, accepting, comfortable environment. So that's pretty much it. I'm not plugging for you, but then you know what happens.
You can plug for me.
So ask me, and off the bat, this is what I get out of.
Thank you.
Through the week there are different friends and different classmates that I chat with. And with some of them, this happens. With some, it doesn't.
I'm so delighted that you spent this time with me and shared so openly, Suresh. I deeply appreciate your giving this time and sharing your reflections. And very candid and very open. Mm. And also deeply pained at what you all have been going through. But also, I think somewhere the allegory of the beautiful sunrise has something that very positive and powerful for all of us collectron ki ek kuch khatam hua to unhi ka ek aur kahin shuru hoga, I guess. And I think on the, you know, just to bring that to all of us is has been beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me, and I really appreciate your being here. Thank you, Suresh.
You're welcome. It was good.
It was fun. Thank you. Take care. Thank you for your time and attention, and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.